chutz for us to hear reporting from Tanchum Cohen that shows the rabbi of congregation Beth Abraham to talk to us about the hashkafas, talk about the concept of what we go through during Pesach to understand how we became that nation and what we can do in our own lives to be able to make that connection and see the steps and see the beauty of the chag to understand how we ultimately become the Am HaMelech.
Thank you so much. Good morning, good Erev Shabbat. Rabbi Price mentioned that we're pretty busy. I was also a kosher in sinks last night. We're all pretty busy preparing for Pesach. When you're little, you think that preparing for Pesach is just with your hands. Because when you're little, what you see is the cleaning and the koshering. And that is absolutely critical. It needs to happen. It's absolutely necessary, but it's totally, at your age, starting to get older and understand a little more, think about things a little more, the physical prep is necessary, but it's not sufficient. If you want Pesach to really, you want Pesach to just happen, so you buy the matzah and you sweep the floors and you burn the chametz and Pesach comes. The food is made and Pesach happens. But if you want Pesach to last for more than 8 days, the calendar is going to keep moving through the spring and the summer. But you want something to have changed inside and some of the ideas and the growth and the excitement of Pesach to stick inside, the preparation doesn't just happen with your hands. It's going to happen with your head. It's going to happen with your heart. The preparation is going to happen not only by doing things at home, but by thinking and learning, preparing yourself for the ideas and the feelings of the Yontif. That's what we're going to do for the next couple of minutes, is think a little bit in advance. When Pesach comes, we're on the run. So let's, before the Seder happens, a couple of simple questions. While our Kam is sitting here in the auditorium, we could think a little bit about the following simple question that I'm sure many of you have, if you're honest with yourselves, have thought about. Maybe you never want to ask a rabbi. Why on earth is the Seder so long? And why on earth do we wait so long to eat? I mean, every Friday night, we know how to do a Shabbos Suda. We know how to do Yom Tov Suda. Let's be honest. Every Friday night, you come home, you make Kiddush, you wash, you have Chal, you get down to business. And yeah, over the course of soup, of the main course, there'll be Zmiros, there'll be Divrei Torah, there'll be conversation, there'll be family hak, whatever's going on at your Shabbos table. But you get started the way you run a program. You get started, have something to eat, and then we can talk. Why? Why not do the same thing Leila Seder? Make Kiddush, wash, not Orchas, Barachza. Make Kiddush, wash, have some matzah, have the eggs, and then we can talk. Then when we're starving, what? Why is the Seder so long? And why do we wait so long before we eat? If you want to make it a fancier question, you can even say, Api Halacha, I should wash first. Because there's a rule, every Shabbos, every Yom Tov and Pesach is included. Kiddush is not just sort of a free-floating thing that we do. The Gemara tells you want to have Kiddush b'makom se'uda. Literally, that means you want to have Kiddush in the location where your meal happens. But it's more than just a question of where, it's also a question of when. You want the Kiddush to be an intro to the rest of the meal. So that's why you make Kiddush, and then let's go wash, and connect the Kiddush to the rest of your se'uda. All of a sudden, Pesach comes, and we seem to have thrown that out the window. We make Kiddush, and then it's an hour or two or three, depending on how long your magid runs, before it could get anywhere near washing for matzah. So I get it. Obviously, we're not going to have challah. But why not have the matzah right away? Why not have the matzah right away? I wonder. Raise your hand if you ever wondered, how come the Seder is so long? Okay. I'm glad to see some honesty in the center section. Right. Why? So here's another question. Here's another question. At the beginning of the Seder, a quick show of hands, this is, everyone does what they do. How many of you daven Ma'ariv at least once a week? Well, that's great. How many of you daven Shacharis? Every day, fantastic, amazing. One of the highlights of Shacharis is Kriya Shema. There are three paragraphs of Kriya Shema. There's Shema V'Ahavta, there's Vahayam Shamoa, that's Kriya Shema. And then there's that third paragraph about tzitzis. Vayomer. It's not kriyashma. It's something we say after kriyashma because of the last pasuk. Who remembers what's the last pasuk of Vayomer? Ani Hashem Elokeichem Asher Utzeisi Eschem Eretz Mitzrayim. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I took you out of Mitzrayim. We say that every morning. If you daven Maariv, we say it every night. It's incredibly brief. We're telling the story of Mitzrayim in one sentence. So I understand. But then all of a sudden, Leila Seder, it's so long. As a matter of fact, if you davened Maariv already, you already spoke about Yetzias Mitzrayim in Maariv. Then you come home, you do it again. So what's going on? What's going on? So can anyone think?
Let's think together. Differences between, see, Reb Chaim Soloveitchik said, well, there are two different things you're doing. Every morning when you say Shema, and if you say Shema at night, you're Zechiras, doing Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. You're mentioning Yetzias Mitzrayim. Maybe we're doing at the Haggadah is different. Can anyone tell me, just think about differences between saying that one pasuk, and Yeshem Elokeichem, Asher Tzeisias Kamehat Mitzrayim, difference between that and the way we do the Haggadah. Some of them are obvious, some are less obvious. Go for it. Raise hands or just yell it out. Yeah. Ooh, very good. We're picking apart every pasuk. Fantastic. Yeah, what else? Mentioning versus learning and remembering. Fantastic. Yeah, on the side.
And the Haggadah is just
like experience it. Experience it. Fantastic. And Shema, we don't experience it. Amazing. Swinging out to the left or the right, depending on your perspective. Any other hands, ideas? So far, so good. We have a lot, long or short, experiencing, reliving. Let's get basic. What happens when you say Shema? Who are you saying Shema to? Hashem. Any people? No. Right? You're saying it to yourself. The most basic thing about having a Seder is, right, there's dialogue.
I'm actually talking to other people. So I'm talking to other people. And what? How do I get that talking to other people started? The very beginning of Magen. What do we do? How many of you are going to ask the Ma'an Ashtana? Show of hands. Has to do with birth order, or has to do with whether every kid in the family, right? Different families are different. Okay, around 50%, right? In shul, when you say Shema, does someone ask you a question and you respond to Shema? Hopefully not. And hopefully no one's asking you questions in the middle of Kriya Shema. So, only Leila Seder is there dialogue between different people. Only Leila Seder are there questions and answers. So I mentioned before, Leila Seder, we're going long. We're telling, call Marber L'Saper Ezen Meshubach. We're going to take time to tell the story. In Shema, it's just one sentence in and out. What's the beginning of the answer to the Ma'an Ashtana? The very first thing we say, Ma'an Ashtana, what's going on? So many things are different tonight. The answer is, who remembers? Avadu Mayinu. Avadu Yilu Parav Mitzrayim. We were slaves. Vayotzi'enu Hashem Elokeinu Misham. And Hashem took us out. So the Mishnah of Pesachim tells us that what you just noticed is the before and after. The dramatic contrast. Maschil Begnos, you start with a low point. We used to be slaves. We say, but now, look what happened. Before we were slaves, and after we were free. We do it, by the way, again. We do it first in Haggadah, physically, politically. We used to be slaves, now we're free. Then a couple of lines later, we say, we used to be Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Mitechila, Ovdei Avodah Zarah Avoseinu. We didn't recognize Hashem. Terach didn't recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then there was a gradual process. Avraham Avinu recognized HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mitzrayim, and finally came to Matan Torah. Now we're HaKadosh Baruch Hu's people. So we both physically, politically, the before and after, the dramatic contrast, and spiritually, we used to be Ovdei Avodah Zarah, and now we have the gift of Torah. So far, how many differences do we have between Zechira every day and every night versus Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim on the night of the Seder? So far, we have four. Conversation, questions and answers, going long, elaborating, called Marber Ezen Meshubach, and dramatic contrast. Someone mentioned before, I don't have the names down, someone mentioned before that we pick apart a part of Chumash. Thank you. So that's what the Mishnah says. We take a piece of Chumash, four psukim. When we actually tell this, the main telling of the story is four psukim. Arami Ovid Avi, Vayered Mitzrayimah,
The first pasuk talks about going down to Mitzrayim. Vayirei was son of Mitzrayim v'yanunu. The second pasuk talks about the oppression. The third pasuk talks about us reaching out to Hashem. Vanitzak, we cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the fourth pasuk, v'yotzeinu, Hashem takes us out with all the makos. So we're not just saying it, we're analyzing. What else do we do? What else do we do? What else do we do after we tell the story? You know, you probably have, we have no smart board in this room. But I imagine you've had many different teachers. I'm asking for names. But I imagine, I'm sure you've had many different teachers. I'm not knowing your teachers, but I'm sure they have different styles. And some of them will just get up and talk, and some of them will walk around. And some of them will just talk about stuff, and some of them will show you something. Whether it's draw something on the board, or a picture on the screen, or bring something in live to look at. Why would a teacher do that? Why would a teacher bring stuff in? Yeah. So you can learn from experience, great. Any other ideas? Why bring something in?
To visualize it.
To visualize it. Okay, good. To learn from experience, to visualize, yeah.
Because it's like interactive.
Because it's interactive. Why is it, yeah?
So it stays in your memory.
Fantastic. Why is interactive important? Why is it important for it to be interactive? Why does it matter? It makes you learn things better. It helps you remember. Helps you remember. Why is it important to visualize?
So you can remember.
So you can remember better. So it becomes more real. The Leil HaSeder, we do that also. Right after we tell the story, Arami Obadabiyari Mitzrayim and the 10 Makos, the very next thing we do is we do use audiovisual aids. And Daniel said, you got it. Don't just tell the story. Relate it to the... Hopefully, maybe this year we'll still have a Karban Pesach. We haven't had a Karban Pesach in almost 2,000 years. We talk about the Karban Pesach and say, you see this matzah? You see this mar? We relate the story to the items on the table. The audiovisual aids helps us to visualize, helps us to experience. It makes it more interactive. So far, so many differences. Six differences between just mentioning Yetzias Mitzrayim every day and every night versus Sipur, telling the story. When you tell a story, there's conversation. There's questions and answers. There's dramatic contrast. We're going to elaborate. We're going to take a piece of Chumash and pick it apart, and we're going to use audiovisual aids. All of those six features of the Leil HaSeder, of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, is exactly that. We're not just trying to mention Zechira, we're actually trying to retell the story. You know why you want to retell the story? I want to retell the story. Keep reading your Haggadah, it tells you why. It says, by the time you're done, we say, Chayiv Adam Liras Azatzmo, Kilu Yatzim Yeshiva Mitzrayim. We're doing a dramatic telling of the story so that we can actually, the retelling is in order to relate. So I can feel like that wasn't just like history out there, but this shaped who I am. I didn't physically leave Mitzrayim, but I am who I am because we used to be in Mitzrayim, we're no longer there. Because we left Mitzrayim, we have relations with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah. And this has happened throughout Jewish history. That there's been times when we feel far away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings us back. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is watching us even when we're in Galus. So we're retelling the story with all these six features that make it a storytelling instead of just a mention. We're retelling the story in order to relate it to ourselves. Chayiv Adam Liras HaZatzim Kili Yatzatim Yishuv Mitzrayim. To feel that this is my story. I can find myself in the Haggadah. And that's why we break out into Halal. Whoever says just two prakim of Halal, what is that? You come to Shul to say Halal, you say the whole thing. The Leil HaSeder is sort of weird. After Magid, we jump into like two paragraphs of Halal, B'tzeis Yisrael, and then we're done. And then we'll come back to the rest of Halal, see you after the Suda, see you after Shulchan Aruch. What's with that? Yeah, because if you're experiencing Yetzias Mitzrayim, if Hashem did something for me now, I'm going to react with a thank you right now. And by the way, those psukim that you mentioned, Arami Ovid Avi, the psukim that are the center of our Haggadah, they're also thank you psukim. They're from Mikra Bikurim, Parshas Kisavo, when a Jewish farmer brings his first fruits over the summer to Beis HaMikdash, he comes and says, thank you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, thank you for the big picture. We were in Mitzrayim, you took us out, you gave us Eretz Yisrael, the big picture of the Jewish people, and thank you for me. I'm part of the big picture, but I'm also thanking you for my fruit, for my farm, for my job, for my stuff. So we're retelling the story dramatically, interactively, in order to relate it to ourselves. And why is it so important to relate to ourselves? So that we can relay, so we can pass on our emunah. Kadosh Baruch Hu did massive nisim at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. 10 makos. Ever wonder, by the way? Ever wonder the following question? What was the goal of the makos? What was Hashem trying to do? Hashem brought makos in order to? What was the purpose?
So that
Hashem is real, not the idols. Okay, so we know Hashem is real. Good. That's an advanced answer. Fantastic. What else? To make power more vulnerable. Fantastic. Wow, you ladies are giving very advanced answers. I'm a simple Jew. So I would have, you're a step ahead of me. I would have thought, Hashem brought the makos to get the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim. Right? Power had a grip, an iron grip on the Jewish people, and Hashem wanted to let the Jews go. So he brings makos to extract the Jewish people from Mitzrayim. But you girls are ahead of me, because if I'm right, that the purpose of the makos was to extract the Jews from Mitzrayim, the purpose of the makos is to get us from Mitzrayim, then you got to wonder, I took Hashem 10 tries, dying 100, chas v'shalom. Kadosh Baruch Hu needed 10 tries to get the first 9 makos were unsuccessful, only the 10th one was successful. So that's why, as you said, as the Ramban writes, the end of Parshas Bo, there was much more to the makos than just extracting the Jews from Mitzrayim. There's even more to the makos than punishing the Mitzrim for having oppressed the Jews. Those are true also. But he says, as you said, Ramban writes in the Parshas Bo, the purpose of the Makos was to teach Emunah. The purpose of the Makos were the original yeshiva. The Makos were the first chinuch. Hashem wants us to know that he's not just out there, he's here. He knows what's going on in my life, and he cares, and he's involved. I don't always see him. You know, Shlomo HaMelech describes in Shir HaShirim, to some extent, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mashkiach Menach Alonos, looking out the window, and sometimes he's Meitzitz Menach Harakim, peeking through the cracks. So imagine you're at a friend's front door, pre-written. Right? So your friend might see you by looking out the window, or your friend might see you by looking through the peephole in the door, or by looking at the ring screen. So what's the difference between whether you're mashkiach menach alonos looking at the window at someone, or meitzis menach harakim peeking through the cracks? Either way, if you're watching your friend, either way you see your friend. But what's the difference between whether you're looking through the window of your friend or looking through the people? Okay, you're close to them. How so? Which one are you more with them? Good, 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 good. If you're peeking through the crack, you know what he said?
If you're peeking through the crack, you can like easily access them. If you're like looking on the window,
get up. Okay, good, 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 yeah. What else?
If you're looking through the window, then your friend can see you. But if you're looking through the crack, then your friend can't see you.
Right. Is it two-way or one-way? Is it two-way or one-way? Either way, I see my friend. But does my friend know that I see him? Does my friend know? So I'm looking through the window, I see you, and you see me, and you see that I'm watching you. But if I'm looking through the peephole, so I see you, but you can't tell. You knock at the door. Is anyone watching? Is anyone seeing me? I don't know. So Shlomo HaMelech says in Shir HaShirim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always watching. HaKadosh Baruch Hu always cares. But sometimes he's looking through the window. Sometimes we know, we feel, we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is watching, overlooking, taking care. And sometimes we don't see. Sometimes he's peeking through the cracks. He's still watching. And he still cares about me whether I know it or not. But sometimes I know, I feel that Kadosh Baruch Hu is involved in my life. And sometimes he is involved, but I don't feel it. He is involved, but I don't see it. Sometimes he's, quote unquote, peeking through the peephole. He's watching me through the ring. I know that he's watching, but I can't feel it. I can't see it. That happened for the first time in Mitzrayim. Over the course of the Makos, it became clear to the Jewish people that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has been watching, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows, and he cares, and he's involved in our lives. And we keep that emunah, that awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our lives, alive
Mitzrayim, Yetzias Mitzrayim happened over 3,000 years ago. But there's been almost 100 generations of parents telling children about what happened in Mitzrayim and why it matters, what we learn from that.
Every Makkah, not every Makkah extracted the Jews from Mitzrayim, but every Makkah showed us that Kadosh Baruch Hu was involved in this world and cares and knows about us. So we retell the story in order to relate it to ourselves, to feel ourselves in it, so that when we can pass on these ideas of Emunah about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that is why the Seder is so long. Why is the Seder so long? And why does so much have to happen before we eat? The answer is, Magen is actually not so long. You'll go home today, over the course of Shabbos, to take out a Haggadah, and you'll see that what we just developed together, the features of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, the dialogue, the question and answer, the going a little longer, the dramatic contrast of before and after, the telling the story through the Psukim, and then relating it to the audiovisual aids, the Pesach Matzah Mar, that's all of Magen. Once you have this set of ideas in your head, Magen is not a random collection of paragraphs. It's actually incredibly tight and well organized. We start with questions, then right away we give one answer, Avanu Hayinu. We pause for a page to review some instructions. The instructions are built into the Seder, that who has to have the Seder and when you have the Seder and so on and so forth, relating to the kids, and then we get right into it. Mitchila of the avodas of Zarah Hayav HaSeder, the back and forth, the before and after. Our Rami Ovid Avi, we tell the story itself through the Makos and Dayenu using those Psukim, and then we're basically done. Rami Gamliel, Pesach Matzah Mar, we've completed telling the story, and then we reflect for a moment, Chayav Adam Leiros HaZatzmo. Now that we told the story, we can find ourselves in the story, that's why we say Hallel, Second Coast, and we are ready for matzah. I'll leave you with one more idea, because what we said so far is that the Magid, the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, needs the matzah. Part of telling the story is relating it to the matzah mar. So I can't have eaten the matzah mar yet. I need it for props. There's one other angle. Not only does the Haggadah, telling the story, need the matzah needs the Haggadah too. And the Torah describes the matzah as lechem oni, parshas re'eh. What does it mean that it's bread of oni? How do you translate that? Anyone who hasn't raised their hands yet? Fresh hands? Yeah? It's poor man's bread. Fantastic. Any other hand? Any other ideas? Who else wants to say poor man's bread? Okay. Poor man's bread means you don't add any ingredients besides for flour and water. Poor man's bread also means it's rationed. If I don't have so much in the cabinet, I'm not going to eat a whole loaf of bread now. I'm not going to eat a whole matzah now. I'm going to put aside most of it for later. Yachas, before Magid. But lechem oni also means not just poor, but aniya va'amira. It's bread of conversation. The Gemara says it's lechem sha'ol al dvarim harbe, that we're supposed to tell the story over the matzah. Sometimes the people say, I'm going to make you eat your words, but literally and positively, we eat our words, lel ha'seder. The matzah is uncovered almost the entire Magid because it's absorbing the words of the Haggadah. We say the Haggadah, and then we eat the Haggadah. It's lechem sha'olim av dvarim harbe. It's bread of words. We don't just tell the story. We tell it, and then we eat it. The matzah is not ready for the mitzvah of eating matzah until it's been broken at Yachatz, and until it's absorbed the words of the Maggid. So the order of the Seder is actually incredibly elegant. Perfect. We make Kiddush. And then we would love to wash for matzah, Kiddush from Makom Suda. We'd love to eat something first, but we can't because we need the matzah for telling the story and the matzah isn't ready to be eaten until a few things have happened. We need to tell a story over the matzah, a story that's going to stick, and then we're then going to eat it up, and we need to ration it, we need to break it so that it's poor man's bread. So first we do a couple of funny things to get the questions rolling. We wash, but then we have karpas. And after we break the matzah, we like clear the table and pour a second coast. So we're going to bench. Like, did I fall asleep? Did I miss something? Did I miss a whole meal? Some questions. Boom. from questions of Manishtar, we're off to the races as we described all the six elements of not Zechira but Sipor, of telling a story, of conversation and of questions and the props and the back and forth. All that happens, that's happening over my matzah. We've told the story. Hopefully we feel it a little bit of hollow. A little bit of, wow, this tells me something that's going to stick with me long after the Seder is over. Now the matzah has absorbed the story and it's ready to be eaten. And the moment we're able to eat the matzah, we wash and we eat the matzah, having told the story, having felt the story, now having literally digested the story, and hopefully long after it's physically digested, but the spiritual aspect of the story, the closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the feelings, the memories, and the ideas are something that get permanently absorbed, become a part of us as we grow from year to year, from Pesach to Pesach. I want to thank Mora Zucker and all of your teachers and Rabbi Price for making this happen. And the Chag Kasher Sameach. Okay, thank you so much. Thank you. Good to see you.